You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Here we are, June 23rd, 2021, and as I reported in the preceding hour, and you just heard on the network news, President Biden about to announce some new laws regarding guns. It's going to focus in part zero tolerance for gun dealers who violate the law, selling to someone who has not been properly checked out. Okay, we have the law there for that purpose. No one should get a gun if they cannot pass the check, and that should not be given to them otherwise. That's not going to really affect gangs, not going to affect all the violent crime that's surging. But they want to tell you it has to do with we need more gun control laws. Well, there's going to be another one. It's basically built upon the back of one that already exists. And yet at the same time, this administration continues to ignore the real cause of violence. And in fact, to that extent, it's not just the state-controlled media doing it. You got Joy Behar of the ABC, The View, saying, you know who's responsible for our recent crime spikes? Donald Trump. That's right. Yep. Got to find a way to blame Donald Trump. They don't have a program or anything if they don't have Trump to pound on. No, here's a real issue. It's our porous border in part, plus all the blue cities and blue states, and prosecutors who will not, if someone's arrested, properly prosecute them or even hold them in jail. But that open border, that's going to create additional problems. We're just beginning to see the tip of that iceberg. A member with ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, now says that the Air Force is now flying Haitian and Venezuelan migrants from Laughlin Air Force Base and taking them into Seattle, New Orleans, as they come across Del Rio, they're taking them and just putting them on planes. They had been using commercial flights, but now the Air Force is. Now, there's no way the Air Force would be taking part in that unless it had been cleared at the highest levels. No surprise with our current commander in chief, right? And all our state-controlled media just won't even bother to go down at the border and document and show all the things that are a problem down there. And VP Harris still is yet to go, approaching 100 days, even though she was given the duty to oversee it. But a BBC investigation came in and quickly found what they call alarming conditions for migrant children being held in these camps. They say they're exposed to disease, dangerous food, sexual abuse. It's no surprise, but even BBC can document it. State-controlled media just can't find a story. Republicans looking at a resolution to censor President Biden for what they describe as, quote, a failure to faithfully execute U.S. border and immigration laws. That would be good, because he has, in fact, refused to enforce the law securing our border. I'm not even sure he's aware that's happening at this point. Who knows? Well, they have, of course, a big race for the mayor's office in Democrat New York City. The contestant coming out on top at this point appears to be Eric Adams, a former police officer. He had a 10-point lead, but it's going to be a few weeks before they make the vote count official. Now, he had support by hedge fund billionaires, and so did Andrew Yang, who once ran as a candidate for the Democrat nomination for president. The New York Post did endorse Adams, partly because of his stance on charter schools. Florida Governor DeSantis signing three education bills. It would require high school students and the state of Florida to learn about communism and ideologies that conflict with the principles of freedom and democracy essential to the founding principles of this nation. He said our students need to have a good working knowledge of American history, American government, the principles that underline our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And then we have Subway, if you're going in for a tuna sandwich. If you like tuna, you're not going to like this story. Apparently, the New York Times had 60 tuna sandwiches from three different locations, tested them, and there's no tuna in them. It's something. Yeah, they think it's fish. It ain't tuna. Wonder if it tastes like chicken of the sea.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Love and happiness. But wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone, 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, talking about how she can make it right. Yeah.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Madam President.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I want to be clear about what just happened on the Senate floor. Every single Senate Republican just voted against starting debate on legislation to protect Americans' voting rights. Once again, the Senate Republican minority has launched a partisan blockade of a pressing issue here in the United States Senate, an issue no less fundamental than the right to vote.
Those are the words of Senator Chuck Schumer on the floor of the Senate. After Senate Republicans blocked their effort to push forward what they call the For the People Act, they needed 60 votes to clear that procedural vote in the Senate. Republicans filibustered. They killed the legislation from advancing to debate. To that extent, they did. He is right. They stopped it from going forward. But why he's not citing correctly and what's at stake, he is not citing correctly. And it's good to note that not a single Republican joined the 50 Democrats on the motion to move forward. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, said Republicans will not stand for the Democrats' attempt to impose new voting standards on states that would rig elections in their favor. He said that 900-page bill is rotten to its core. And that's exactly what this is. This For the People Act, this is simply a way to have federal control over state elections, county elections, city elections, whatever they decide to do. Really, the Democrats that are pushing for this, they should think What if we are no longer in control and they use it against us? They don't think that far down the road, partly because they think if we can get this done, there will never be another Republican elected to the White House, and very few chances one could be elected to the Senate. They might get in some congressmen because they're closed down, shorter little areas, smaller areas. Interesting thing that happened, though, in the process of this bill, as you had Schumer saying, the GOP just voted against protecting the right of citizens to vote. The phraseology itself is again an attempt, an effort to tell you the GOP is trying to disenfranchise voters. When, in fact, the bill that they've written in Georgia makes it easier to vote than the law that currently exists in Delaware, in Pennsylvania, and others, New York State. Which also brings us to the point that part of the voter ID thing that the Dems have been so much against, they suddenly are doing a flip-flop. We're going to get into that in more detail before we wrap up this hour. But I will tell you this. Progressives are very upset. They were sure Schumer could make this happen. Well, Schumer still insists we did everything right and we are in the right.
Today, every single Democratic senator stood together in the fight to protect the right to vote in America. The Democratic Party in the Senate will always stand united to defend our democracy. I spoke with President Biden earlier this afternoon as well. He has been unshakable in his support of S1, and I want to thank the President and the Vice President for their efforts. But regrettably, our efforts were met by the unanimous opposition of the Senate minority. Once again, Senate Republicans have signed their names in the ledger of history alongside Donald Trump, the big lie, and voter suppression, to their enduring disgrace. This vote, I'm ashamed to say, is further evidence that voter suppression has become part of the official platform of the Republican Party.
I have a challenge for Senator Schumer and all the rest of the Democrats. Can you one time have a discussion, an argument about what you want or don't want and what you're fighting against and not invoke the name of Trump in it? You're only doing it to raise a red flag, knowing that will maybe rally everyone around. And you heard him mention every single Democrat stood, and I talked to the president, and he's fully behind it. Well, not so much. Progressive Democrats are very upset with what happened. That it didn't go through. They don't think Schumer did enough. They also don't think Biden did enough. In fact, I'm looking at an analysis piece even written by a CNN analytical writer on politics. What's his name here? It's Stephen Collinson. Here's what he had to say. I want to read this to you briefly. He said, the vote on Tuesday was the most tangible illustration yet of having a minuscule congressional majority will thwart liberal dreams of presidency chock full of radical change, and how President Joe Biden's power in such a scenario is clipped. He goes on to say, the fact that Joe Biden was not leading the charge in such a critical fight reveals everything about the stark realities of power that define Washington in mid-2021, and insights into how he sees his presidency. And that's where progressives are extremely upset, because this article also points out, this being the expansive voting rights bill suffocating the Senate Tuesday, the most critical defense, as he calls it, of the American democracy in decades, the writer here for CNN and NN, he said, it seems odd that a president who put that very goal at the core of his administration didn't do more to pass it. Biden kind of apparently had a phone conversation with Schumer and said, yeah, I'm with you. He didn't go to the Senate floor and offer any comments, didn't do anything else, didn't try to put pressure on any moderate Republicans. Not sure it would have worked because they'd already kind of made up their mind, too. Even GOP moderate Lisa Murkowski, Senator of Alaska, you never know where she's going to go. But Murkowski said, I cannot support, quote, the partisan federal takeover of the election system. This bill has been twice up before members of the House. They worked it through and got it out because they do control the House. And then goes to the Senate. They couldn't get past a 60-vote margin. Now, they got 50 votes. So if it's 50-50, well, then VP Harris would cast her vote. But for this to advance, you had to have 60, the filibuster rule. And they couldn't do it. And one member of the House, Congressman Jamal Bowman, Democrat of New York, same state as Schumer, made it very clear that this was a missed opportunity.
The American people want it. The White House wants it. The House of Representatives passed it overwhelmingly with Democratic support. And now it's time for the Senate to do its job. H.R. 1 is the North Star. It's what we need in this moment to get big money out of politics, to retroactively oversee, supersede what's happening at the state level, and to bring D.C. statehood to a reality so we can stop marginalizing 700,000 voters in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, roll that into the conversation as well. We discussed that in great detail in the last hour. If you missed it, that hour will be later today, posted as a podcast. You'll want to go back and hear what we had to say about D.C. and Muriel Bowser pushing for her city to become a state and why. So, yeah, Congressman Bowman, Democrat in New York, said this: the House passed it, the Senate's got to do its job. And they failed. They failed. But Schumer ain't going to take no blame for it. Of course not. Once again, back to Senator Chuck Schumer. And now he's going to tie in the value of the Voting Rights Act. The Voting Rights Act that LBJ pushed through. And in listening to Schumer, you would think history was made by the Democrats with that Civil Rights Voting Act. Just listen.
My colleagues, if senators 60 years ago held that the federal government should never intervene to protect voting rights, this body would have never passed the Voting Rights Act. The Republican leader uses the language and the logic of the Southern senators in the 60s who defended states' rights, and it is an indefensible position for any senator, let alone the minority leader, to hold. And yet that was the reason given for why Republicans voted in lockstep today. Regardless of what may be happening in some states, there's no rationale for federal intervention. That is both ridiculous and awful.
Schumer is trying to say, if there's no rationale for any federal interference, then why did we ever have the Voting Rights Act passed? And, of course, he laid the blame on the issue at that point, and those are the Jim Crow laws they often throw in your face, on the Southern senators who existed then. They were Democrat senators. Democrats. Democrats were trying to prevent blacks from voting. It took LBJ, President Lyndon Baines Johnson of Texas, also a Democrat, with some real arm twisting to get with the Democrats of that era. And they were states' rights Democrats, and they were pretty much, and some of them directly involved with the Klan, I should point out. Democrats again. I remind you, Democrats. You didn't hear Schumer say that. And for him to get them to come together to pass the Voting Rights Act of 1965, it is landmark decision. It prohibits racial discrimination in voting. Republicans were pushing for that. Democrats were not. So in some twisted frame of mind, Chuck Schumer tries to say the Republicans are, you know, they're acting like the Southern senators. Why don't you say the Southern Democrat senators? Oh, well, that might splash back on us, so we don't want to do that. We'll just simply say Southern senators. So if you don't know your history, you think, oh, the Republicans were fighting against the 1965 Civil Rights Act, right, for their voting, that they were trying to deny that as well, right? Nope. They were not. It was Democrats fighting against it. And it took another Democrat in the White House, LBJ, to change it. All right, so they had this battle. They couldn't get the votes yesterday. Are they closing the door on this? Oh, no, 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 no. Listen to Senator Schumer.
I want to be very clear about one thing. The fight to protect voting rights is not over, by no means. In the fight for voting rights, this vote was the starting gun, not the finish line. Let me say that again. In the fight for voting rights, this vote was the starting gun, not the finish line.
Well, that's okay, because we also are not done with protecting voters' rights and making sure votes are legal and valid. So a CNN analyst threw his words in on how valuable this vote and this issue was. Some IQ, Jeffrey Toobin, we're coming to him shortly. I don't think we're going to use a Zoom call, but just in case, make sure his hands are above the desk. That's coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This is life or death for the democracy. This is about whether the people are going to control their government or the government is going to decide how the democracy works or doesn't work. And I just think one of them is an existential crisis for the United States.
Well, those are the words of Jeffrey Toobin, CNN legal analyst. As we pointed out the other day, he's back on the air after that little incident involving a Zoom camera that was on in a meeting. He did not know he was on camera, and he was pleasuring himself. 7 months later, the CNN's got him back in the chair, and here he is talking about a constitutional crisis because they are not getting this For the People Act pushed forward. It's not a constitutional crisis because it didn't go forward. It's a constitutional crisis when you allow undocumented illegals to vote and that you allow ballot harvesting and you allow all kinds of shenanigans to basically steal an election. And no, I'm not just talking about the Republicans making a complaint in reference to the last presidential election. I'm talking about Republicans have also been involved in things like that in various elections. If they have a will and they can find a way, it happens. Thank God most are willing to say, we're going to follow the law and we're going to do it correctly. But here's Jeffrey Toobin saying, this is a crisis. It's a crisis. I told you a moment ago that Senator Schumer said, I've been talking to President Biden. He's with us. He's all with us. But a lot of the progressives are upset. He did not do more. In fact, Congresswoman Jones, Mondaire Jones, Democrat in New York, said it's not clear to him that Biden is serious about any voting reform, this particular For the People Act. He told the Associated Press that Jones, the congressman, New York, met with President Biden. And he said, I told him he needs to be bolder in lobbying for S1, which is the People Act out of the Senate. comparable to the House one. And he said, Biden just sort of stared at me. Just stared at me. He said, President Obama, for his part, has been doing more to salvage our ailing democracy than the current president of the United States. Well, the White House doesn't like that. They're already pushing back. White House Press Secretary Saski said, no. President Biden is, quote, passionate about voting legislation. And he's absolutely revolted by the bills being passed by Republican state legislature. And why, of course, what are the Republicans doing in the state legislatures? They're clearing out the ballot list if folks have not updated, or they're dead, or they have moved. They're trying to clear the voter rolls to make sure only legal voters are casting ballots. I don't care what your color, your religion, or even your political preference is. Do you want to have your vote stolen by somebody that should not be allowed to vote at all? I would think the answer would be not only no, but hell no. It's my vote. So you should welcome anything that happens like that. But you've got somebody coming forward and saying, and this is a ranking Republican of the past, blaming all of this on red states. Listen, please.
We're watching states strip away our access to the ballot box, putting hurdles in front of us. Can you at least address it? We're not asking for the federal government to control voting. Right. We're asking, could you just create a platform in which we can access voting in our own states? And yet they're falling back on these procedural arguments as if people give a damn.
Well,
and they don't. They just want you to do the daggone legislation. Mm-hmm. This is not rocket science. It's common sense. Well,
and that is former Republican National Committee Chair Michael Steele on a sellout on MSNBC for how many pieces of gold he got to say the Republicans in these state legislatures are trying to disenfranchise. It's a lie. And there's another big lie coming up. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around on their 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been, if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Prominent Democrats have railed against voter ID requirements for years. But now that voter ID is among the sticking points, keeping the Democratic caucus from uniting behind S1, some Democrats have started indicating, well, they've had a change of heart. Now, I would commend them for coming around to common sense positions on that issue that 80% of Americans already support.
Yeah, I would too. That's Senator Mitch McConnell, minority leader in the Senate, talking about how some of these Democrats are doing a flip-flop on voter ID. And some of them want to blatantly They can look you right in the eye and say, we've always been for voter ID. We've never been against it. They think you're absolutely stupid, with a capital S. They can look you in the eye and say, we've always been in favor of voter ID. Now, we touched on this yesterday, but I did not get a chance to give it the time I felt it deserved. That's why I'm back on it today. Because as we hear, the reason they, as Chuck Schumer said, and even his, the CNN analyst, legal analyst, Jeffrey Toobin said, this For the People Act, this is a constitutional crisis, and the Republicans are more interested in disenfranchising people than upholding the Constitution and making sure everybody has a right chance to vote. That's also a lie. I want everyone to vote if they are valid voters. That means, one, they're a U.S. citizen to begin with, and I don't know that a lot of them that had voted the last time around were. And that we don't have folks gathering a bunch of ballots and faking names and saying them in. I don't want that either. Do you? Oh, it's good. It's good if it works for you and your candidate at the time. Yeah, you might go along with it. We're trying to protect the Constitution. That's what the Democrats are trying to say, but they're not interested in protecting the Constitution. And one of the big points they've always had, they continue to say, if you dare force us to have a voter ID, you're trying to disenfranchise. It is Jim Crow law all over again. Or as Joe Biden says, it's Jim Crow 2. Or I think he even compared it at one point to Joe Eagle. I still don't understand what he's trying to say in that. But beyond that, that's what they were doing. And they've been successful in getting their story done, and they've been successful in having some reaction at the corporate level, specifically MLB. Major League Baseball was going to hold its All-Star game in Atlanta, remember? Stacey Abrams, along with Senator Warnock of Georgia, newly elected, saying, you come in here, you're not going to be really welcome, and you're going to have a lot of the black baseball players not even bothered to show up, and folks won't be coming to the game or anything else like that. Because Georgia had passed a law that was going to be like Jim Crow laws of the old. Why and how was it compared to Jim Crow laws? Simply because it required a voter ID for absentee balloting. They already had an ID law in effect in Georgia for voting. But if you want an absentee ballot, you're going to have to prove you are who you are and you're living where you say you are. If you care about your vote, you want that kind of enforcement. You want to make sure it's done. And yes, the Democrats and Stacey Abrams leading them in Georgia at that time were speaking out as to this voter ID. It would be disenfranchising minorities. They wouldn't have a chance. I mean, they wouldn't be able to get it, even though it was even offered free if they needed a voter ID. That is part of the legislation. And Major League Baseball and many corporations bought her story. And who ends up suffering? Atlanta. And minority businesses in Atlanta looking for a lot of money off that All-Star game. A lot of minorities in Atlanta looking to be able to be employed and working either in the stadium or related projects that they would have a job on. Now I want to take you back. This was a piece put together by the GOP. I want you to know the source. You're going to hear Stacey Abrams, one-time gubernatorial candidate for Georgia, still thinks she should have won. After all, she had the blessings and backing of Oprah Winfrey. You're going to hear her say, no, we have no problem with voter ID. We have been pushing for it. We're all for it. You're going to hear that remark. It had reference to June of last year. And butted right behind it, you're going to hear her start talking again, and that's from April of the same year when she is denouncing a need for voter ID. Here we go.
That's one of the fallacies of Republican talking points that have been deeply disturbing. No one has ever objected to having to prove who you are to vote. It's been part of our nation's history since the inception of voting.
Voters without a driver's license or state ID must surrender their personal information and risk identity theft just to receive an absentee ballot. And then there are the 200,000 Georgia voters who don't have either ID and the putative free ID that is not free when you factor in the cost of transportation and the cost of underlying document. You can read the full list of objections to SB 202 at stopjimcrow2.com.
So there you have it. From April to June or July of that year, she went from, no, we don't really, we think voter ID is wrong. That was what she was originally saying. And then she said, no, we're not, we've always been for it. I'm looking at a piece written out of the Las Vegas Review, an opinion piece. And the way it starts off is, Democrats flip-flopping on voter ID would even make John Kerry blush. For months, congressional Democrats have been pushing H.R. 1, which would federalize U.S. election law. It's such a radical proposal that Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat, West Virginia, said he wouldn't support it. That meant Democrats didn't have the 50 votes necessary for Senate passage, let alone 60 votes needed to break a filibuster. And Democrats urged Manchin to consider a compromise plan that he could back, which he released. But it didn't work. Offered olive branches to Republicans. But again, it would mandate voter ID in every state. And suddenly Democrats start saying, voter ID is not that big of a deal. Well, Senator Mitch McConnell, minority Senate leader, says it was all a false narrative.
When Georgia passed targeted updates to its election laws based on lessons learned during the pandemic era elections, Democrats trashed the bill as, quote, a redux of Jim Crow. They misrepresented its content so wildly that even left-leaning fact checks repeatedly debunked these claims. But by then, the train of disinformation had left the station. Pretty soon, any state that dared to deviate from unique pandemic-era procedures faced summary judgment in the court of liberal outrage. It doesn't seem to matter that the facts tell a different story.
No, we don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. Never do that. And he said the trains left the station. Well, in this case in Georgia, the MLB left the station. Remember, moving the All-Star game, as I said, from Atlanta. There's been a report released. I haven't had a chance to really spend some time on it with you, and you might have caught it. I have kind of mentioned, I think, in the past briefly, but not giving it full attention. This has to do with how USA Today apparently allowed retroactive edits of an op-ed written by Stacey Abrams as she tried to water down her previous justification for boycotts after the MLB moved its All-Star game from Atlanta. Again, this is the story of USA Today as it was reported by Fox News. It points out in a piece published March 31, just days before the MLB announced it was relocating the game because of that Georgia election reform bill that was like Jim Crow law, Abrams seemed to defend the national response to what she called, quote, the racist, classist legislation. And she originally wrote the impassioned response to the racist, classist bill that is now the law of Georgia is to boycott in order to achieve change. Events hosted by Major League Baseball, world-class soccer, college sports, dozens of Hollywood films hang in the balance. At the same time, activists urge Georgians to swear off hometown products to express our outrage. She's talking about Coca-Cola, which is based out of Atlanta. She said, until we hear clear, unequivocal statements that show Georgia-based companies get what's at stake, I can't argue with an individual's choice to opt for their competition. So she was trying to say that you need to pull out, we need to boycott the product if they're not going to support us in fighting against this voter ID. Her revised op-eds, after she's asking for the boycott, the revised op-ed said, instead of a boycott, I strongly urge other events and productions to do business in Georgia and speak out against our law and similar proposals. In other words, once it became aware to her that, well, MLB, based off of your comments and remarks, we'll go ahead and pull the game. We'll go to Denver. She suddenly, whoa, that didn't play out the way I wanted. By then it was too late. The big lie caught up to her. Corporations being caught in these kinds of games. I've got a great piece I want to share with you. One guy says corporations are selling out all the time.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We know corporations like MLB and NBA and Coca-Cola and Delta and others, they're quick to put up banners proclaiming BLM or any social type messages, because if they don't, they're going to be called racist. You can't just be, remember, say I'm not racist. You got to be anti-racist. And if I remind you that I told you that last year at the wrap-up of the NBA season, the commissioner said, we're not going to do anything on the uniforms this time around. We're still going to be engaged, but we're not going to do that in uniform. We're going to stop it. He said, I think the public just wants to come watch a game. That's exactly right. They don't want any politics or anything like that put in their face right then. And you got corporations. My boots on the ground correspondent in Chicago sent me a piece that I might have overlooked. It came out of a publication. It's written basically, it's an excerpt from a book that's due out called Woke Incorporated, Inside Corporate America's Social Justice Scam. It's coming out sometime in August. It's written by the founder and executive chairman of Roivant Sciences, Vivek Ramaswamy. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And it begins, why I'm blowing the whistle on how corporate America is poisoning society. He said, there's a dirty little secret underlying corporate America. He said, you pretend like you care about something other than profit and power. Pretend like you care about something other than profit and power precisely to gain more of each. More power and more profit. He said the important part of the trick was to stay mum about it. Now I'm violating the code. I'm pulling back the curtain. I'm showing you what's going on in corporate boardrooms across America. He said, why am I defecting? He said, I'm fed up with corporate America's game of pretending to care about justice in order to make money. It is wreaking havoc on American democracy. It demands that a small group of investors and CEOs determine what's good for society rather than our democracy at large. And he said, this new trend has created a major cultural shift in America. It's not just ruining companies, it's polarizing our politics. It's dividing our country to a breaking point. And worst of all, it's concentrating the power to determine American values in the hands of a small group of capitalists rather than the hands of the American citizens at large. He said, wokeness has made American capitalism in its own image. Talk of being woke has morphed into a kind of a catch-all term for all progressive identity politics today. He points out the phrase, stay woke, was used from time to time by black civil rights activists over the past decades, but it really took off only recently when black protesters made it their catchphrase in the Ferguson protest in response to a police officer fatally shooting Michael Brown. And he warns now that this wokeness is dividing us as a people. He said, white progressives have even appropriated stay woke as a general purpose term. So while stay woke started as a remark black people would say to remind each other to be alert to racism, it's now perfect for white coastal suburbanites to say it to remind each other to watch for possible microaggressions. And being woke means obsessing about race, gender, sexual orientation, maybe climate change. He said conservatives are duped into submission as they fall back on slogans they remember, like the market can do no wrong, failing to recognize the free market doesn't exist today that used to be. He said the new woke leviathan gains its power by dividing us as a people. Points out corporations win, woke activists win, celebrities win, even the Chinese Communist Party finds a way to win. The losers in this game are the American people. Again, this is all part of a book that is going to come out in August, Woke Incorporated, Inside Corporate America, Corporate America's Social Justice Scam. And I think that opening line says everything. Pretend like you care about something other than profit and power, precisely to gain more of profit and power. Supreme Court yesterday, or I should say, Wednesday, I lost track of the days already, ruling 8-1 that a Pennsylvania high school was wrong when it kicked a cheerleader off her team. She put out a profane Snapchat post off the ground saying, F the school, F softball, F cheerleaders, F everything. Put it online. She's a high school sophomore. She got booted off the junior varsity cheer team after she did that. Well, it went all the way to the Supreme Court as a case of free speech. And on a vote of 8-1, the high school was ruled to be wrong. They should not have done it. It's a violation of her free speech. The dissenting vote came from Justice Clarence Thomas, who wrote, they should have looked closely at precedents about how schools may punish students for speech that happens outside school but could affect inside the schoolhouse gates. So we'll see what happens with that. As always, I appreciate you joining us and listening. And again, some call this a conservative program. I look at it more like a patriotic program, and I'm glad to have you on board. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.